Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're going to head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You know him as Coach Riz, Coach Reisland, Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com. A lot of Clevelanders know that last name, and they know Lance as well. Lance, welcome to the show, bud.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. We're jump right into the deep end here because both JP and I were guffawing earlier this week when there's this national narrative pushed now over the last week or two that Shador's college offense was basically like the like a high school offense when he played for Pat Shurmur and he played for a multitude of former NFL players or coaches. And that wasn't the case. That wasn't the narrative on Shador in like February, March, or April. So critics say Shador's college offense was basic and high school-like. Do you think that's a fair read on that?
Actually, I don't, and here's why. When you look at Colorado's offensive line, it was as bad as it gets, especially in pass protection. So, for me, I think Pat Shurmur did an NFL-type thing where he figured out ways to get rid of the football. If you look where I think Shador was really, really good was in empty. And the reason he was good in empty, because he does process information very, very well, but he didn't have a lot of time. And what Shador doesn't have, he's not elite with his footwork in terms of, like, in transferring his weight sometimes, think he's not fundamentally super at all times. And he doesn't have those elite traits that everybody looks for, right? The rocket arm, the ability to run 4.4, all those kind of things. But he's a gamer. But the idea that, you know, it was funny that that never came up through, you know, all my breakdowns. And then I've been asked that question a bunch too. And I just think they had to get rid of the football quicker. But if you look at a lot of those throws he does, especially in the middle field, a lot of high lows, a lot of things that Kevin Stefanski runs, a lot of smash concepts on the outsides, ins and outs. He does a lot of NFL type things. He's going to have to learn from throw from different launch points, things like that. But a lot of what they did at Colorado was based that they had zero run game and they had zero pass protection. And they actually did a really good job of getting it out of his hands as fast as they could.
Coach, one thing I'd love to see is when you know something about a quarterback and it translates well to what you initially see. One thing we know about Shador is he is wildly accurate. And then I didn't think it was a surprise, but it was very nice to see in the mandatory minicamps. What was he? He was very accurate. I love the translatable traits there, Coach.
Well, you know, and the thing that I think the Browns did a great job of is that they have this quarterback, you know, issue with four quarterbacks. And how many are they going to keep? We don't know. But what they have done is that none of them have a shot unless they get to the point where they know everything, right? So you can't play at a high level unless you know what you're doing. Anytime you're thinking, your feet aren't moving or you're not reacting, they got to be reactionary, right? And that comes with reps and that comes with the ability to learn what everybody else is doing. So I think they did a good job of kind of getting them up to speed. That's in my opinion, why Flacco didn't get a ton of reps, because he doesn't have to get up to speed in terms of understanding what they're doing. Those other three guys do. Now, when they're all on the same playing field with what they know, now you'll figure out, you know, when live bullets are flying around, what will happen and who's going to kind of rise to the top.
Lance, kind of to piggyback on the question I asked previously, do you see a gap between Dylan Gabriel's NFL readiness and Shador's?
You know, one thing that Dylan Gabriel does really, really well is he has a very live arm. Now, you can tell he's a little bit older. He's thrown for 18,000 yards in college. he played, you know, he played at UCF, he played at Oklahoma, he played at Oregon. So he played for these multitude of different coordinators who have moved his launch point and what he's reading and pass protections and how you attack coverages and all those things as coaches that we try to do that we teach our quarterbacks. He's learned that at a very high level from different, you know, from different angles. So I think he's more NFL ready just because he's a little bit older. And I think he's just been in offenses that kind of give him that, you know, he's had a run game. He's had, you know, he's done some play action. He's been in the gun. He's done some RPO. So he's kind of, he's done all these things. So I don't know if he's NFL, more NFL ready, but he has, he's just done more. He's seen more because of where he's played.
What's your early thoughts after being there and watching everything about Kenny Pickett?
Well, you know, it's funny. Kenny Pickett, I went back and watched all of his cut-ups from, you know, Pittsburgh the last couple of years. And the thing that he really struggles with because, and I'm shocked because he moves his feet so well, he struggles with inside the pocket. And that's something that I think Stefanski, maybe that's why he's so high in him, because Stefanski does a really nice job of working their footwork within the pocket. If you look at Baker and these guys, they do a really nice job of finding those lanes. And that's why I think they like Dylan Gabriel, even though he's short, because he'll be able to find those lanes. Now that's where he really struggles, and that's where he gets into trouble. So if you look at his stats, he had two okay years in Pittsburgh, but the interception to touchdown ratio is really, really poor. And where he really struggles is when he gets that pressure, A-B gap pressure, where you got to kind of slide to your left and slide to your right. That's what he seems to really struggle with. But I think if you're Stefanski, you're saying, I can fix that, because he does make some really good throws. He's an outstanding athlete. He runs really well. He can throw the boots and waggles that Kevin likes to throw and all that kind of stuff. So I can see why they like him. But that's my big takeaway, is that he struggles within the pocket when he consistently has to throw from there.
Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, Coach Riz, Coach Reisland on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We were talking about earlier in the show about which rookie has the chance to help the Browns best upset the apple cart. Meaning, you know, if you think the Browns are a 3-win team, the player that could maybe surprise people and help you get to a 6-win team, something like that. We took the defensive players off because the defense is already good enough. But if we ask you that question, which rookie do you look at and say that guy can have the biggest impact on the Browns taking a big jump this year that nobody expects?
Well, I think it's Junkins, and here's why. I've been a big believer in winning on first down on both sides of the ball for the Browns to help their offense, help their defense, help whatever they're doing as they kind of try to get back to respectability, is that you have to win on first down, and Junkins gives you that. Now, he's a lot faster than I thought, and I wasn't as high on him as I was on Henderson. However, after seeing and standing next to him, he's such a thick kid. So even if he doesn't get those big breakaway runs early until he learns the scheme, he's going to get you to second five, second six. Then all of a sudden, as a coordinator, as whoever the quarterback is, now you're in control because you can run or pass. And I think because of that, that's the biggest impact on offense. Now, I think Fannin's going to be outstanding because he'll be great in 12 personnel. But early on, if you're looking at a guy who's going to really help that quarterback, it's going to be Junkins, because he's going to make it second and five, and they're going to win on first down more than they have in the last couple years.
Tell me what you loved about Harold Fannin so much when you saw him.
Well, first of all, he's kind of a guy, he's really savvy, right? So he's a guy who kind of just gets open. And it's not really, it's funny because he runs really good routes. He kind of runs awkwardly, but he understands angles. He understands blind spots. He understands who he is as a player. In fact, that he's kind of a unicorn. So if he goes against a corner, he uses his size. If he goes against a backer, he kind of uses his speed. And what I like about him is that it kind of allows the Browns to get into 12 personnel, which is really what Stefanski, in my opinion, what he does best, right? Because if you go 12 personnel, that defense has to kind of say, all right, we're going to put three backers in the game. And then you can kind of find a mismatch for him and Njoku. If they go nickel, now you can run the ball a little bit. And I think he'll do some fullback things as well because of his size and what he can do. But he's a guy who always is open. As a coach, I just like, he's first in line. He works hard. His attention to detail with his routes and where his hands are and, you know, his blocking, his ability to be coached. He's very, very coachable. So I just like him. I think he's a gamer. You know, if you go back and watch his film, his best two games, in my opinion, are Texas A&M and Penn State. And he was just, they couldn't cover him because of those things. If, you know, you put a corner on him, he's too big. If you put a back on him, he's too fast. So I just think he gives a very QB friendly and will help this quarterback, whoever it is.
Coach, wide receiver beyond Jerry Jeudy, a bit of a concern. Do you think, like, who are some of the names we should be talking about that might actually be able to make this roster and make an impact given the lack of depth beyond Jerry Jeudy?
Well, you know, before Tillman got hurt, you know, when you go down and you watch Tillman, now I've always been a, you know, big believer in like football players first, right? Not so much the combine stuff. I like guys who make plays. I like production over potential. And, but if you look at said Tillman, he's just such a physical looking kid, right? He's big, he's fast, he's long. He can do a lot of good things. I think they have really high expectations for him. Drafting Fannin and not drafting another receiver tells me that they think 12 is, I think 12 and 13 personnel is going to be what they kind of live in to help that, you know, help the offense, shorten the game, protect their defense. But yeah, there's a definite drop off from Judy. Now, I think Jamari Thrash had a pretty good camp. I think Woods before, you know, he's had some moments in practice where he's looked really long and good. David Bell is a guy that, you know, he's an enigma. I loved him at Purdue. He just but hasn't been able to produce at the NFL level. Then a guy I really like, I know he's a local kid, but he's a guy that gives the Browns what they don't have, is Luke Flory, the kid out of Mentor. He's a slot receiver. He's undersized. And again, as a coach, I tend to look at it like through my dad's eyes. It's not what a guy can't do. It's what he can do. And what he can give the Browns is a slot receiver who can work in the slot and kind of give you those Julian Edelman type of stuff. Now, is he Julian Edelman? No. But you get the idea of working underneath and being QB friendly for, again, whoever that quarterback is going to be. So after Judy, after Tillman, is it Thrash? Is it Bell? Is it Woods? I don't know. But I think Luke Flory is going to throw his name in there. I really do.
Coach, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you. Keep killing it on Cleveland.com. We'll talk to you down the line here.
I appreciate you guys having me. We'll talk soon.
Anything stand out specifically to you?
Well, I just love his love of Harold Fannin. It's funny because we just didn't get enough of a breakdown out of people that were there day in, day out with minicamp and the mandatory portion of it. And it's just one of those things. I mean, Coach was at every one of those practices. And it's every time he just came back and was like, Fannin's just always open.
I just think it's interesting that that he basically refuted on some level this idea that that Shador's college offense was like a rinky-dink college offense.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't much of a shock to me because he grinds the tape, that Coach Rizom, and so I knew that was coming.
I just don't get it.
It's a dumb accusation or dumb. The whole thing is just silly to me.
And so what? So you know, the timing of it bugs me. The fact that it's a new thing. And like nobody had any of those comments. As a matter of fact, one of the things that was maybe given credit to was the fact that he played for Pat Shurmur, former NFL head coach at Colorado.
And the amount of NFL different coaches that are on that staff. Like that was one thing I just kept raving about as we were leading up to everything with Shador.
And so I also think, though, I think it's used as a way of, I don't know how to put it. You can say that they're trying to keep Shador in his place, or they're trying to tamp down the Shador hype or incubate Shador. The reality is you're not doing that with anybody else. So why are you doing it with him, and why are you saying things that aren't true to do it?
Would you do it with Shador if they hadn't taken Dylan Gabriel?
I think that's a great point. And that's the other thing. Like the comps on Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders, the whole point on both those guys is they fit the offense because they had, at least with Shador, they actually had similar offensive experience in college, and that they're both incredibly experienced. They're both high ceiling or high floor, low ceiling guys.
Yeah, to the point where, remember when Stefanski, when they, like the week after they had acquired both guys in the draft, Stefanski did one of the Brown shows that they always do, and basically was describing Gabriel, and then was like, this works for exactly the same way for Shador as well.
Now, here's one thing. I just like to dispel something really, really quick here.
Sure.
I don't believe Kevin Stefanski is being truthful when he says draft order doesn't matter when it comes to those two quarterbacks. Because specifically, I think Stefanski's the reason Dylan Gabriel's here, and he was taken in a late third-round pick. And I don't know that he was – I don't know Shador was drafted in spite of Stefanski. I don't think Kevin really wanted Shador here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll never really truly find out that answer. Maybe like 3 or 4 or 5 years from now we'll find out that answer. I at this point, I don't want them to think that they have to be right about this. I want them to just honestly and find the win in the idea that Shador's awesome at football if he ends up being awesome at football.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, I find the win and the idea that, yeah, you took them in the fifth and Dylan Gabriel was taken in the third, but if Shador's better, then it, who cares where they were taken?
Meanwhile, Frank Schwab of...
Yeah, still Yahoo.
I don't think he's ever going to leave. Frank
Schwab. No, he's definitely one of those guys that you're like, 30 years from now, you're like, still writing for Yahoo?
He'll be the Chris Berman of Yahoo Sports.
Is that a thing people want to be? I'm not sure.
Yeah, ESPN threw, I want to say...
I saw the anniversary parties. Wait, so he gets a work anniversary party, but my 9-year LinkedIn doesn't get acknowledged?
No, nobody celebrates 9-year anniversaries.
Where's my anniversary?
We're talking 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Like, after the first anniversary, you go in bigger increments.
I think we need as many reasons to celebrate in life. And if you want to throw me a 9, you want to throw me a 10, you want to throw me an 11, any year, I think, is okay.
So I have to throw you so then will you throw me a work anniversary party?
Sure, we could go. We can go tit for tat here. If we want to just keep the party train going, we can do this, or we can do like what you did for my birthday, where you're like, I thought about getting you a cake.
Yeah,
and even that's nice.
So, hey, I meant to tell you, I thought about getting you a cake for your work anniversary.
That's very nice. I like that you treated it that way.
Yeah, it was gonna be marble, right? But with white icing.
Mm.
Yeah, I like my cake.
I'm an ice cream cake kind of guy.
Oh.
What is the O for?
It's good.
It's the best kind of cake you can get.
It really isn't. Cake is the best kind of cake you can get.
Worst take you've had in a while.
I've had a lot of bad ones.
I'm saying worst take in a while. Surprisingly.
Ice cream cake or cheesecake? No other cake. I'm out.
Oh, I'm a big cheesecake guy, too.
Whoa. Yeah. Now, see, if you want to have ice cream cake or cheesecake conversation, and by the way, no, all cake is great. All cake matters. All right.
That was a good comeback because you were really throwing down ice cream cake for a second.
Yeah, no, I like ice cream cake, but like...
It is my go-to birthday cake.
Cake is my favorite cake.
My go-to any celebration cake is always an ice cream cake. The only thing that changes is, do I get it from Mitchell's? Do I get it from Grater's?
So do my 11-year-old daughters.
Well, then they have great taste buds like myself.
Actually, you had some because you were at their party this year.
And it was fantastic.
No, I love... Give me some... See, this is the thing, though. I wouldn't get you an ice cream cake. I'd get you cake.
Oh, I'm telling you, I like ice cream cake.
I do like the
sheet cake that you only get at like 1- and 2-year-old birthday parties because I've been to a million of them now.
Yeah.
And I actually do low key like that. Oh, not as much as an ice cream cake, but I do like that.
The good news is you're in store for a bunch of them.
I've ate my way through sheet cakes at this point because everything I do is kids' birthday parties, and all it is just whatever pizza place is the closest by, and then the sheet cake, and I have a blast.
So you get a big bowl, get a big piece of cake in there, and then just pour some milk on it. I'll tell you, it'll change your life.
How do you feel about a cookie cake?
One cake I hate.
For like 10 years, my birthday cake was a cookie cake.
Yeah, Vanessa,
and then I moved off of that.
Yeah, it's you're
cookie.
Right. It's just a big-ass cookie.
It's a big-ass cookie with the frosting on it, and that's always a good time.
No, I don't think
what
it is.
Part of that's a bad time?
I don't think it is. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to say that is the cookie that does not matter. That is a cake that is not a cake. That's a great take by you, Jax. Like 3 years ago, Vanessa got me a cookie cake for my birthday.
Yeah.
And I never told her because we haven't had a lot of cookie cakes in our lives. I'd never told her I didn't like it. So I just had to, oh, I love it. It's great. And the whole time I was like, I got the smallest piece I could. Yeah, get a little milk on there for a regular cake, real cake, as some call it. Oh man, now I'm hungry.
Oh, that was always, it was always good.
Dinner is a calling. But Frank Schwab gives.
Wait, so what about Berman's like 50th work anniversary party?
Oh, just the fact it was weird that the guy's never on TV anymore. And ESPN's like, hey, 50 years for Boomer. I think that's what Frank Schwab's going to get from Yahoo, like 30 years from now.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember him working anywhere else. I'm sure he did, but.
Berman was getting very handsy in that photo.
I think Berman's just handsy.
Did you see that photo?
Yeah.
A little handsy there, Berman.
Chris has got a reputation. Chris.
A little handsy.
I think Chris doesn't realize that Chris looks the way Chris looks.
I didn't realize how much of a thing work anniversary cakes are, by the way. I wanted to chat GPT and find out what kind of cake you should get someone for a work anniversary.
Yeah.
Because I was like, maybe they have input on this. Because now ChatGPT is like my fourth best friend in life.
It's true.
I just ask ChatGPT questions all day. They said, for some reason, chocolate, vanilla, or red velvet is like classic for work anniversary.
Oh, yeah. Red velvet's good. Yeah.
I love red velvet cake. Big fan of red velvet cake. But ultimately, yeah, there's all sorts of sites about like what you should do for work anniversary cakes in particular. We are not celebrating work anniversaries nearly as much as we should.
So what are the other things you should do? Now you're opening Pandora's box here.
Well, I mean, it really says you go chocolate, vanilla, or red velvet, and you can't miss.
I thought you said there were other things you do.
No other sites. Like a bunch of sites on work anniversary cakes. I'm doing it in the segment, so I haven't been time.
Okay. No,
I haven't been able to research
that's
it yet.
That's fair. We didn't prep this one. So is it just a cake? Do you need a card? Because I'd be very caught off guard if in a month's time when my 3-year workiversary is here,
yeah.
If I showed up and there was a big cake and a card.
Do you no get card. Gifts? No card. Cake is good enough.
Oh, no. I'm not going to turn down cake. I'm just saying, like.
When is your 3-year work anniversary? What's the date on that?
Sometime next week. Or next month.
You can tell me so I can actually bring it in.
I don't know off the top of my head. I think it's the 18th.
Do you want the station's logo on the cake? Or should we do broadcasting mic?
I want it to be about me.
Just a big photo of you.
I didn't say that. I just want it to be about me. All right? We share a lot of credit in this building, and I am happy to do so. 92 through the fan, little. Nick, big.
Okay. Oh, I got the idea. I got the right, yeah. Got the right idea.
That's what, I'm really good at communicating.
I got the right idea.
216-474-0092. Do you celebrate your workiversary? So Frank Schwab gave the Browns a B grade for their offseason.
Yeah, and he said in here, he's like, they didn't make many big moves in free agency. He references the Malik Collins 2-year $20 million deal as the only player to get more than $4.76 million per year. He said the Browns draft was good, though, and they could end up being remembered as the team that traded the Travis Hunter pick ultimately. So it's funny to me. He gives him a B for what he calls a solid offseason, and then proceeds to tell you all the ways that they could have messed this thing up.
Yeah, we're going to talk about trading a quarterback. Or sorry, about trading a wide receiver. Like if Travis Hunter ends up being Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always my fear with trading down is Julio Jones became Phil Taylor, Owen Marisic, Brandon Whedon, and like one other player who was on the line of Owen Marisic. If Brandon Whedon had been Russell Wilson instead, none of us would have bemoaned the Julio Jones trade for 15 years.
Right.
So I understand that Travis Hunter could be a really nice player.
Yeah, there's a reason why we talked about the Carson Wentz thing for so long, and then Carson Wentz turned out to stink, and so it didn't matter anymore.
But like Travis Hunter, if Travis Hunter's really, really good or great or a Hall of Famer, but you, next year with that pick, or the assistance of that pick, you get your franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. No one's going to care. I don't think the Travis Hunter thing's going to matter to you at all for this year, because I don't think Travis was going to add that many wins and losses to you this year.
I agree with that, but in the short term, I feel like people will look at it like if the Travis Hunter pick in Jacksonville, if he's just awesome, then somehow it's like, oh boy, we really messed this one up, didn't we?
I just think with the B grade, I don't think the Browns had a lot of flexibility to make a lot of great trades or a lot of great moves, and nor do I think they should have found flexibility to do so. Mm-hmm. I thought the draft was a little wonky because two quarterbacks, two running backs, and it had, 7 or 8 picks? Like, okay, that was different. And honestly, your quarterback room became Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and two rookie quarterbacks, a third rounder and a fifth rounder. But it is tough for me. Like, when people say they hated the Browns offseason or it was a failure of an offseason, there is a rebuttal of what would you have done differently?
Yeah, I don't look at it like a failure. I look at it more like a shrug emoji. Like, are we just, is what Frank Schwab telling us is that he just basically graded the Browns draft as a B?
I think so.
Because, like, it's not as if they did basically anything outside of that. I mean, he mentions the only big move with Malik Collins as far as money was concerned, but not many people are looking at that like that's the most massive thing in the world.
Well, I think it's fair because of the lack of big trades or free agent moves, you're naturally going to put more emphasis on the draft. I think the shrug emoji, like, I think we have to grade it on a curve. Like, it's if they had $70 million in cap space and, you know, two first rounders, and there had been a great quarterback in this draft beyond Cam Ward, and you had the number two pick, I think you would have more to grade them on. I think you had a lot to grade them on, so I can't penalize them for them. Like, it is a shrug emoji compared to what other teams did, maybe Philadelphia, maybe some of the other teams that hit it out, even Baltimore with Jair Alexander signing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for what the Browns went into this offseason, to me, you would have earned a failing grade if you had chased trying to win more with this team. They're still trying to be competitive next year. But if they had spent big money and a higher draft pick trading for Kirk Cousins, even though it might have given you a better chance to win this year, it still was not the right move. If you had traded for, who is the wide receiver? Brandon Ayuk. If you had traded for one of the big names, or if you had been active in free agency and moved a bunch of cap space around, I think that would have been disastrous for where you are.
It's funny because remember a while ago we debated about Kobe Altman, and I argued the idea that inaction actually was action. Mm-hmm. And I think I can make the same principle apply here. Like, the lack of doing anything is what they're getting rewarded for when it comes to Frank Schwab.
All right, real quick here. Chris in Willowick has been waiting since we had our Barry Stefanski conversation. Chris, apologies for the wait, my guy. What you got for us?
That's okay, guys. That was totally hysterical. First of all, the Brandon Whedon thing, there was a kid that was a right tackle from, I believe, Iowa that got drafted by the Detroit Lions right after we took Brandon Whedon. Huge mistake. We should have taken that kid. He went to Detroit. He was a stud and an all-pro for quite a few years. He played for like 10 or 12 years. We would have bookend offensive tackles with Joe Thomas and him on the right side. Second of all, you guys were talking about whether the general manager and the coach get a pass this year. Me personally, I wasn't thrilled with the draft last year. I liked the trade down and getting the kid from Michigan, but I didn't like the Dillon Gabriel pick. I thought the kid that was the safety from South Carolina should have been our pick instead of Dillon Gabriel. I also thought they should have taken Jack Sawyer instead of one of those running backs to team with Miles and the defensive lineman. I agree he doesn't have a huge ceiling, but with the defensive line we have, I think it would have been great. It would have been a local kid coming to the team, and instead of taking one of those running backs, they should have re-signed Nick Chubb on a laden contract. As far as them getting a pass, I think it's the agreement with the coach. I still think that whether people want to hear it or not, I don't want to use the big T word. However, I think the premise of the Browns this year is going to be heavy on the play-action pass, heavy on the run, heavy on the tight ends, strong defense, keep the game close, and that's all Haslam is going to care about no matter what the record is. I don't agree with that. I think they should be held accountable, but I believe that Haslam is going to give them a pass no matter what the record is, unfortunately.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much there. 216-474-0092. Frank Schwab gives the Browns a B grade for the offseason, fair or unfair, in case we missed it. Coming back in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.